This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The one and only glory to Him. He born in humans to be the best and give His best to religion to them. Rasulullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. لا سيما المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. My dear viewers, welcome to another live edition of Gardens of the Pious, and today's episode is number 755 in the Blessed Series of Riyad al-Salihin, which is compiled by 8th Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf al-Nawawi. May Allah have mercy on him. And subhanAllah, this is the seventh episode in learning chapter number 732, which I wish it would never end, because it discusses some of the bounties which Allah has prepared for the believers in paradise. May the Almighty Allah make us among them. Today's hadith and ayah have been discussed before, but this is in a different narration. The hadith is hadith number 1891. عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه قال شهدت من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مجلسا وصف فيه الجنة حتى انتهى ثم قال في آخر حديثه فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر ثم قرأ تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. The two verses of Surah Al-Sajda 16th and 17. The hadith is collected by Imam Bukhari, and the meaning of this hadith. Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu said, once I was in the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sitting somewhere, and I witnessed the following. He gave a description of Jannah, and he concluded with these words: there will be bounties which no eye have ever seen, no ear have ever heard of, and no human heart has ever perceived. Then the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, recited the two consecutive verses of Surah Al-Sajda, chapter number 32, verses 16th and 17th, in which Allah the Almighty says what it means. The sides forsake the bids to invoke the Lord in fear and hope, and they spend in charity in Allah's cause out of what we have bestowed upon them. Then no one knows what is kept hidden for them of joy and delight as a reward for what they used to do. As I mentioned earlier, this hadith is mashallah a sound hadith, and it is collected by Imam Bukhari. So we understand from that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to practice what he was ordered to preach, which is bashiran wa nadhira, to share with the companions and with the audience the glad tidings and the good news. And sometimes he would share with them the severe warning, because the sharia is all about do's and do not do's. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave and accepted the pledge of allegiance from the companions, he said, فَمَنْ وَفَّى فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever will fulfill these articles of the treaty, then his reward is guaranteed by Allah, and it is due upon Allah. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. And whoever happened to indulge in any of these prohibitions, then his punishment in the dunya, if he was punished, that would be sufficient punishment for him. and Allah will not punish him in the hereafter. فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةُ اللَّهِ. And if Allah the Almighty concealed his sin, then his matter, his case is entirely up to Allah. إِنْ شَاءَ عَفَى عَنْهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَ. On the day of judgment, Allah may forgive him and he may punish him. So he will be taking the chance. It's very risky. This is the meaning of bashiran wa nadhira. And in a sitting in which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is talking about al-Jannah, like Hanzalah al-Usaydi, may Allah be pleased with him, he said to Abu Bakr, نكون عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيحدثنا عن الجنة والنار حتى كأن رأي عين. يعني whenever we are sitting with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and he is teaching us about paradise and about hellfire until we feel like we can actually visualize them. So imagine a believer who trusts Allah and believes that there will be life after death and there will be reward and punishment. Then he hears what Allah promised him of reward in heaven if he were to do 1, 2, 3, 4. Then obviously they will execute every command of Allah and they will not differentiate between what is mandatory and what is recommended, because they see the reward, al-Jannah. كَأَنَّا رَأْيَ عَيْنِ. As if we can actually see al-Jannah physically and visualize it. Likewise with an-Nar. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever will backbite, his punishment will be clipping his lips in hellfire. Whoever will commit adultery, they will be hung from their privates in hellfire. Whoever drinks, their punishment will be such and such. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes that, definitely every wise audience will keep distance from all the prohibitions, because he knows that this is serious. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns, then this is really serious. And that's the meaning of bashiran wa nadhira. Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, may Allah be pleased with him, says, I have witnessed a gathering, a sitting, in which the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halqa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was describing al-Jannah. And after he concluded, which means he was talking about the variety of delight, the different types of joy and happiness, what Allah has prepared for the believers of reward and bounties, then he said, you know what, by the end, bottom line, there is even more. There is what no eye have ever seen, and there is no what ear have ever heard of, and there is what no one have ever thought of, mashallah. And he used a reference of Surah As-Sajda, ayah number 16 first, that فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. الجزاء من جنس العمل. الجزاء من جنس العمل. People who are praying at night and concealing their worship, so the Almighty Allah has prepared for them a reward magnificent beyond imagination, and it is concealed. لا تعلم نفس. No soul, no human being, not even angels, know how much reward and bounties that the Almighty has been preparing or has prepared for the dwellers of paradise. May Allah make us among them. And now, with the following beautiful hadith, which is collected by Imam Muslim. And I perceive the following hadith, when we talk about Jannah, is the second greatest glad tidings. When we study it together in the hadith, afterward I'll tell you what is the greatest glad tidings in Jannah and for the dwellers of paradise ever. But now, enjoy this. In hadith number 1892, عن أبي سعيد وأبي هريرة رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا دخل أهل الجنة الجنة ينادي مناد إن لكم أن تحيوا فلا تموتوا أبدا وإن لكم أن تصحوا فلا تسقموا أبدا وإن لكم أن تشبوا فلا تهرموا أبدا وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ أَنْ تَنْعَمُوا فَلَا تَبْأَسُوا أَبَدًا رواه مسلم. The two great companions, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with both of them, narrated that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, whenever the dwellers of heaven enter heaven, a caller will announce to them in paradise, you have a promise from Allah that you will live therein and you will never die. So the earn eternity in heaven. They become immortal in paradise. And you will stay healthy therein, and you will never get ill. And you will stay young, and you will never grow old. And you will be under a constant bliss, and you will never feel miserable. And you will never suffer of any distress in heaven. We always say, any joy and delight, no matter what is it in the life of this world, there will be a moment, a glance, which will disturb the joy and delight. There will be some fear. Fear of what? Fear of interruption. Fear of discontinuity. Fear of season. Fear of loss of the bounties, of the blessings, of the wealth, or fear of you departing and leaving everything behind. Don't you agree? MashaAllah, I know quite a lot of people who have been blessed with wealth. But I'm sure, as I think about what will happen after I die, what will happen to my wife, what will happen to my mother, what will happen to my children. And every now and then I collect my wife and I tell her, I'm saving some money here for this. This is my wasiyah, and this is what you need to do. And I advise my kids. So always the thought of death is present. Ordinary people do not fear much because they don't have much to lose in this dunya. But people who have a lot of facilities and they lead a very lavish life, you know, when you travel in business or first class, that's a big deal. Versus when you own your private jet. So at any time you decide to fly to Paris, let's go. To New York, to Florida, let's go. No big deal. That's a luxury. So somebody was leading a very luxurious life, and meetings here and meetings there, and business deals here and there. And obviously the profits as well as the losses are not in hundreds of thousands, rather in millions. So they are in a totally different lifestyle. What interrupts any joy or delight is the fear that at any moment I may lose all of that. Big companies, a Japanese business owner, I heard him today, or maybe yesterday, was saying that his wealth was increasing literally every single week, $3 billion. Every single week, he was earning $3 billion. Wow. So he said at one point, I was wealthier than Bill Gates. And I was ranked as number one, the wealthiest man on earth. And then all of a sudden, his company lost 99% of its value. So all those billions of dollars, which he owned and possessed yesterday, which ranked him as the wealthiest man on earth, they're gone, disappeared. Same happens to Elon Musk, same happens to Bill Gates, same happens to any wealthy person. You know, you don't have a guarantee that you will remain wealthy forever. You don't have a guarantee that you will be the wealthiest man on earth forever. You don't know what kind of life they're leading, whether they're happy or not. So when his wife divorces him and she takes half of his wealth, he's not on the rank anymore. And then anything could happen. And the worst for them is death. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن أبغض لقاء الله أبغض الله لقاءه من كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. And the meaning of this hadith, which is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, that whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah too loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah too hates to meet him. From the meaning, the obvious meaning of the hadith, it sounds like the Prophet ﷺ is talking about death. How would you meet Allah when you return to him? إِنَّ لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So Aisha رضي الله عنها said, يا رسول الله, ما منا من أحد يحب الموت. When the Prophet says, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him as well. The only way to meet Allah is to die. So she said, how do you say that? Whoever loves to meet Allah, and whoever loves to die, Allah would love to meet him. She said, none of us loves death. None of us desires death, which would lead to meeting Allah in the other life. So the Prophet ﷺ said, it is not like the way you understood it, Aisha. من أحب لقاء الله, it is the believer whom at the time of death, بشرا, he will be given the glad tidings that Allah is pleased with you and Allah has prepared plenty of bounties for you in heaven. So he is rejoicing and he is delighted and he is ready and he is rushing. Let's go. فهو يحب لقاء الله. So he loves to meet Allah. Allah too is waiting for him and he loves to meet him. He loves to collect his soul to send it to heaven. And says, اكتبوا روح عبدي في عليين ومن كره لقاء الله. Yeah, the criminals, the oppressors, the wicked from among Muslims or non-Muslims at the time of death, when they know it's all over, look, every one of us know very well whether we've done good or bad. Rumsfeld knows that he's criminal. George W. Bush knows that he is criminal, whether he's been used or he initiated the war crimes. Tony Blair, which some of our brothers, the dua, admire him and praise him. In our views, he is a criminal and he deserves, if there is a justice court, to be executed. He's criminal. He's a war criminal. All of that will appear on the screen before them at the time of death, because they haven't killed only one or two or three or four. They have killed millions of people. Prince Harry is proud that he has killed 30 innocent people in Afghanistan. You're happy? You will see. You will see when you meet the Almighty Allah. And he will ask you when you bombarded from a plane, an aircraft, a warcraft, you bombarded a wedding or a funeral or a school or a hospital and he killed those innocent people. كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ. He's afraid. He realizes by mere looking at the angels of death, they're very angry with him. Their faces are very frown. And what kind of coffin is this? Very coffin from hell. So كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ. He doesn't want to die. Why not? They have prepared for you a mahogany casket. The casket itself cost 30,000 sterling. And you have a very nice graveyard, royal one. I don't want to go there because I know that I will be in trouble. That is the meaning of من كاريها لقاء الله. Many presidents, many rulers, many ulama, Muslim scholars, who are fakers, they learned for the sake of dunya. They made wealth and they were like a tool in the hand of certain unjust rulers in order to make the haram halal and the halal haram. So they are told, you know, we're having a problem with the finance, but people won't listen to us if we tell them that riba is okay. So those scholars with a big turban and long beard will come forward and say, the riba was in the past, but nowadays there is no riba because we're not dealing with gold and silver anymore. Fakers. They are fakers. They are deceivers. And they know that. Wallahi, they know that. So when will it appear to them very obvious on the screen at the time of death, when they don't have a chance to go back? Kariha liqa Allah. He knows that if he goes to meet Allah, he will be beaten up. He will be tormented. So he hates it. And that is the meaning of, and whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah too hates to meet him. Why are you talking about all of that? I'm talking about that because in this hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the dwellers of paradise set their foot and they settle there, khalas, did you check out your residence? How do you like it? This is mind-blowing, unbelievable. I couldn't imagine that. This is beyond in my imagination. Yeah. And furthermore, you will never grow old. You will never get sick. You will never suffer. You will never even have cough or common cold. You will never have COVID. You would never encounter any calamity. And furthermore, you're immortal. You will be in the joy and the light forever. And what did they do? It was only a matter of 20 years of worship. It was only a matter of 40 years, 50 years. And that's it. This is the maximum that we talk about. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. On the other hand, those who oppressed us, those who wronged others, though the criminals and also the disbelievers, they enjoyed their life here. And they're still enjoying their life. Maybe they're stealing from the public fund, wasting the resources of their own countries, like if it is their own money. So you better prepare an answer for each penny. How did you earn it? That money belonged to your country. It belonged to the Muslim Ummah. You are the sultan, you are the king, you are the emir, you are the president. You're only an employee. You take your salary, not the whole resources. So at the time of death, it will be the worst moment, the most frightening experience. Why? Because you know that the Republic Guard, the Royal Guards, the tanks, the planes, none of that will be able to protect them. He will rise up alone, by himself, to answer for every wrongdoing that he has done to his people, for every oppression, for every theft. If poor people like us, Allah will ask us about every penny. How much do I have in my pocket? If you die and you possess that much, whatever you earned, whatever you spent, and whatever you left behind, how did you earn it? Every penny. And where and how did you spend it? MashaAllah. What about those guys who don't know how much they have? SubhanAllah. So as the hadith delivers such glad tidings for the good doers, which tell us, be patient, what is coming is unmatched. Endure this life patiently. Stay patient on the hardship, on the takalif, on the commandment, and abstaining from what is forbidden, because you will get paid very well. You will lead a very comfortable life and forever. Never get sick, never get old, never die. وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ أَن تَنْعَمُوا فَلَا تَبْأَسُوا أَبَدًا. You will be always be delighted. You will never get bored. You will never get tired. As in the last episode, we spoke about every Friday, they meet, they chat, they visit. And when they return to their mansions in Jannah, so their family members, the wife and al-hur, say, SubhanAllah, what have you been doing? Why? Because you look much prettier. healthier. You smell better. This is by Allah. You too. You look much prettier than the way that we left you. Healthier. You smell better. What is happening here? Always improving. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. And that's why I say it is never enough to speak about Jannah. Also, when we come to speak about An-Nar, some people say Islam is very scary religion. No, it's not scary religion. You are a naughty person. You want to live your life the way you like and you don't want any accountability. That's called atheism. You know, that's why they deny and they reject the presence of Allah. Why? Because they don't want to believe in hereafter, because it will lead them to the inevitable question, which is al-hisab. Will there be any hisab, a reckoning? Yes, indeed. So we better prepare for that. We'll take a short break, and while we are in the break, we'll keep busy making istighfar, and inshallah, we'll be back in a couple minutes. Please stay tuned. رسول الله حبيب الله رسول الله حبيب الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome back. Our phone numbers, as usual, will appear on the bottom of your screen. Go ahead and dial any of the following numbers if you have any questions. Our first caller today is Ramzi from the USA. Welcome to Huda TV, brother Ramzi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. كيف الحال يا شيخ? How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing great. And you?
Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, I have three questions. They are very, very specific. My situation. I married 4 years back. A woman here in the United States, she's a Christian. Mm-hmm. When I married her, I thought that, because in Quran they said that you can marry the Christian. But I was ignorant in terms of the muhsanat. Later on, I did some research and mm-hmm. then the category that the Quran is referring to, this woman does not
okay.
fit in.
So what is the question?
So my question is number one, is my marriage void, empty? My second question, following my research, I spoke to my mom and then I took the intention to divorce her. But when I came, I changed my mind because we have had a very, difficult conversation and she didn't want and we were fighting and then I carry on the marriage. So on the basis of this intention, still my marriage, is it void or not? And the third question is, we might expect a baby soon. So on all of this, what is your recommendation? Do I have to completely abandon this marriage and maybe this kid that maybe is going to come and start a new life? What should I do?
Thank you, Ramzi, and may Allah ease your way. First of all, when Allah the Almighty said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So some people right away, they say Allah said it is permissible to marry any Christian woman or any Jewish woman, Ahlul Kitab. And this is not true. Not even any Muslim woman. Before he said, wal mu'minat, he said, wal muhsanatu min al mu'minat. Al ihsan means chastity, modesty. So to marry a woman, she must be, and you too must be chaste, must be modest. Which means you were not in an illicit relationship before. You were not dating and committing adultery. And then you say, okay, let's get married. Before that, the person must repent sincerely. So Allah said, it is okay to marry a modest Muslim woman or Christian woman or Jewish woman. And He did not permit the Muslim women for the same, because the concept of qawama and superiority, irrespective of being in a charge of the family. So in order to protect your lineage, your offspring, it's not permissible for a woman to marry any Muslim man. But it is permissible for a man to marry only a chaste Muslim woman or a chaste Muslim Christian or Jewish woman. Alhamdulillah. In any society, when the man knows that he would not have any say with regards to the way of raising his children, and they might lose control, complete control over their children, simply if the wife puts a restraining order on him and they separate, then they should reconsider marrying this woman in this society before making that decision. Because the effective cause in the beginning will be the fate of the children. What will they be, believers or non-believers, right? So if you already married a woman, if anyone married a woman and he didn't know it was required that she should be chaste or muhsana, and later on she repented and she is living with you a decent marriage life, even if she's practicing her own religion, which is Judaism or Christianity, then there is no problem. And if otherwise, then in this case, it is not permissible for you to maintain such marriage. But there is a problem, which is the children. You said you'll be expecting a baby soon. You need to sort out this matter. How are you going to go about it? Who will take the custody? Who will be raising the child? Because it is heartbreaking for a man, a Muslim man, who's going to pray Jumu'ah and he knows that he is able to see, God forbid, his daughter dating somebody or having a boyfriend or going to church and he couldn't have a say. This is the case which I'd like to put before every young man who goes, number one, for education, then he likes his classmate and he wants to marry her. So the father, the mother, the aunts, the grandfather, everybody is telling him, I beg you not, come and marry from here, a chaste, modest woman. No, she's going to be the best wife, she's going to be whatever. And then this is very repetitive. Only a few cases which survived. So here is a case I did not initiate, but one brother, Ramzi from the States, called to inquire about. I want to share with the viewers in order to think with their mind, not with their emotions, before making that decision. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum. Abu Abdul Rahman from Italy. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Abu Abdul Rahman, thank you for asking. And you?
Alhamdulillah. Okay, that's a program that you talk about Hadith 1762. Can you please briefly explain to me? I don't understand it too much.
Well, I didn't get your question. You said in the program, in today's program, you mean?
No, it's not this program. That's a Hadith number, according to 1762. It talk about fasting in a row in Jeddah, something like that.
It talk about what?
Fasting in 2 days in a row, or it's fasting about
That's called, that's not fasting consecutive days. Rather, it's called an-nahyu anil wisali fi as-sawm, the prohibition of fasting without interruption for more than 1 day. And this is forbidden, like to fast for 2 days without breaking your fast at sunset, or fasting for more than that. While what is a must is at the time of sunset, you break your fast, even if you don't want to eat, even if you just drink some water or milk or whatever, to declare that this is the time of breaking the fast and I'm not fasting anymore. So it's not regulating how much food you eat. It's about fasting. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. اللَّيْلِ is sunset. So at sunset, Bismillah, ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله. You break your fast. You want to eat, you don't want to eat, this is entirely up to you. But the practice which the companions or some of the companions were eager to do in order to compete with the Prophet ﷺ is to fast for 2 and 3 or more days consecutively without breaking their fast in between. This is forbidden. Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Zakaria from Kenya.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Sheikh?
Doing great, alhamdulillah. And you?
I'm doing great, alhamdulillah. So, Sheikh, I had a question. And I like playing football because, firstly, it is the only game I enjoy playing. And on top of that, it is really good for me because of my health. So Sheikh, I always play. Hello, Sheikh, do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Yes, so Sheikh, when I always play football, I observe the time for prayer and I cover the aura, etc. So Sheikh, but the ones who I play with, they wear shorts. And I don't concentrate with them. And whenever I look at the aura accidentally, I divert my gaze. So, Sheikh, is this okay? Or
yes, for you, only? For you to play and exercise soccer in a team or as a amateur, it's permissible. As you know that we discussed before, with regards to the concept of the aura for the men and whether the thigh is a part of the aura or not, and we said, according to the more correct view, it's a part of the aura. And since there is another opinion, for you, you're not blameworthy for playing with others. As long as whenever it is the prayer time, you go and you attend your prayer. And alhamdulillah, shukrullah, you're not involved in any violation. So enjoy it. May Allah bless you. Barakallahu fiqh, akhi. Zakaria from Kenya. Now, quickly, I'd like to take another beautiful hadith. We're running out of time. Hadith number 1893. Let's enjoy it together. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أدنى مقعد أحدكم من الجنة أن يقول له تمن فيتمنى ويتمنى فيقول له هل تمنيت فيقول نعم فيقول له فإن لك ما تمنيت ومثله معه ما شاء الله. Hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said in this sound hadith, the lowest place of any of you in Jannah. This is, we're talking about the last person to enter Jannah, the least person with regards to the word. When it will be said to him, have a wish. What do you desire? Allah will ask him, make a wish. He will wish, and then he will wish again. And then Allah the Almighty will ask him, ask again, until he would ask what he thinks is enough. Allah will say, have you expressed your wish? And he will answer, yep, I have, O Allah. So the Almighty Allah will say, you will have whatever you wished and the like thereof along with it. Subhanallah, وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ whatever you wished and double. Because simply, it doesn't cost Allah anything. And whenever Allah is happy with any person, He will bestow upon him of His bounties beyond imagination. And this is in the dunya. What about in Jannah? What about in the hereafter? May Allah make us from among its dwellers. So this is like the person who's already burned in hellfire and finally Allah pardoned him and excused him and he released him from Allah. So he will keep, when he enters Al-Jannah, we studied before, he will say to Allah, I didn't find any room. Look again and again. Then he will give him 10 times the like of this world and what it contains. Then when Allah will ask him, make a wish, and he will keep wishing, and Allah will ask him again, then he will grant him double of what he wished. More than what he wished. How much? The double. This is in the sound hadith. Final hadith in today's episode is hadith number 1894, which is agreed upon its authenticity and narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أدنى مقعد أحدكم من الجنة أن يقول له إن الله عز وجل يقول لأهل الجنة يا أهل الجنة فيقولون لبيك ربنا وسعديك والخير في يديك فيقول هل رضيتم فيقولون وما لنا لا نرضى يا ربنا وقد أعطيتنا ما لم تعط أحدا من خلقك فيقول ألا أعطيكم أفضل من ذلك فيقولون وأي شيء أفضل من ذلك فيقول أحل عليكم رضواني فلا أسخط عليكم بعده أبدا. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Another glad tidings. Another bishara. Another good news. In the hadith which is agreed upon its authenticity and narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, Allah the Almighty, the Lord of honor and glory, will say to the dwellers of heaven, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, O people of heaven. And they will respond, Labbaik, here we are, our Lord, we are at your service. Labbaik Rabbana, all good is in your hand. Labbaik wa sa'daik. So the Almighty Allah will ask them, Are you pleased? They will answer in the affirmative and say, Why shouldn't we be pleased? Our Lord, when you have given us what you have not given any one of your creatures, when you have saved us, when you have admitted us to the gardens of paradise, Allah the Almighty will say, Shall I not give you something better than all of that? And they will ask, Our Lord, what can be better than all of that? The Almighty Allah will say, I shall bestow my pleasure upon you, and I shall never be displeased with you. You know what it means when Allah the Almighty is pleased with somebody? You know what it means when Allah the Almighty says, Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. This is the eternal pleasure. When Allah is pleased with somebody, as in the hadith, and He says, Uhillu alaykum ridwani. فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا I shall bestow my pleasure upon you and I shall never be displeased with you. As a matter of fact, in the matters of the dunya, we have heard about the 314 companions who attended the Battle of Badr. We have heard about the 1400 companions who attended the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, whom Allah the Almighty declared that Allah is pleased with them. And no matter what they do, that Allah the Almighty is pleased with them, and they will be from among the dwellers of paradise. And this is still in the dunya. What about if by the end we actually enter Jannah, we know that it's irreversible, you will never come out of it. And finally, Allah the Almighty tells you that I am pleased with you, and I'm going to be always pleased with you, and I will never, ever be unpleased with you. May Allah make us among them. We've come to the end of today's edition of Gardens of the Pious. And until next time, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
He born in humans to be the best and give his best religion to them.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about it in paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling the best with the cheapest price.
So why did they ignore that? Forgetting all about hell and paradise, worshipping cows, fire and stones, selling their best with the cheapest price.